This is Sarah Machen for Phoenix FM, and tonight I'm at the monthly film screening hosted by the Brentwood Arts Cinema Club, and I'm joined by Joanna Moncrief and Phil Minot from the club. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
What happens at the Arts Cinema Club?
Well, we show a film at 7:30 on Sunday at the United Reformed Church in Brentwood, and we choose a variety of films. The films are shown once a month, and we choose a variety of films from world cinema, classic British and American films, and films that we think will interest people. We have time for drinks and some socialising before the film. Then we watch the film, and then a few people stay behind for a short discussion after the film.
And what are the advantages of joining the club as opposed to just going to the cinema?
Well, we show a range of films that you probably would find quite difficult to access at the cinema, certainly locally. So I don't know if you want to say a bit more about that.
Yes, I mean, I think we've actually shown films, we've certainly shown things which have either never been on general release in this country, or if they have, they would have been on very limited release in this country. Obviously, also, it's relatively unusual with commercial cinema to have the opportunity to see older films which you might have seen on television but never seen on a larger screen in a sort of more cinematic type environment. Clearly, it's not an established cinema with a building and a full-size screen, but it's a large screen, and it's an audience, and it's a different kind of experience. You immediately get an experience of watching a film which you may feel that you know because you may have seen it on television, which is very different to the one that you would actually get watching it on television. And while I say watching films on television, there are films that we will show which either you would not see on television, or you would have to really search out, or you might have to wait for a long while. So we're definitely offering films to people which are not the common run of films, and that may involve things that they have seen in the past or have heard of in the past, but which you won't get the opportunity to go to a local cinema and see. So
I think people really enjoy the discussion as well. So the sort of informal discussion happens after the film while people are clearing away the chairs, and then a few people will stay for a longer, more formal discussion. And I think that helps people to reflect on the film. Obviously, people can exchange ideas, and some people will know the film from the past and some people won't. So people have different things to contribute to those discussions, and I think they can be very rewarding.
So you don't necessarily have to be a real film buff to appreciate an evening here?
No, absolutely not. And I'm perfectly happy to admit that. We had a Robert Bresson film earlier on this year, and I was looking through the extras on the DVD while setting it up, and there was a filmography, and I just put the filmography up on the screen, and the more I looked at the filmography, the more I realised how little I knew about Robert Bresson, because I'd seen one. I thought, oh, I know a bit about Robert Bresson, and that was literally going to be the second Robert Bresson film that I'd seen. I think the other thing that's worth saying about the advantages of coming along and becoming a member is that, as far as we're concerned, and as far as the membership is concerned, the prospectus, the set of films that you eventually get the chance to see, is not up to some commercial organisation. It's up to the membership. The committee makes the final decision as to the 11 films that are shown across the year. But we put out every year, and we're just about to start doing that this year, we put out what we call a long list to members each year, and members get the chance to vote on which films they'd like to see. So everybody who's a member has the opportunity to have an influence on what films they're eventually going to see, which obviously you would never get in a commercial cinema. So there's a dialogue going on in terms of the films that we're showing.
When I joined the film club, which was maybe 10 years ago now, I really didn't know very much about films at all. And what I really liked is that I came along to see films I probably wouldn't have gone along to otherwise, because I tried to get to see everything on the programme. And actually, that really broadened my mind and introduced me to all sorts of filmmakers that I think otherwise I wouldn't have come across. I can't say I absolutely love all of them, but they've really enriched my experience of watching films generally.
Yes, that membership experience where you become a member, and therefore you can come in to see every film of the year without paying any extra money, obviously encourages you to come to as many as possible. And it does mean that you're going to end up coming to a film which otherwise you might have looked at the synopsis of and thought, well, it doesn't really sound like it would interest me very much. But you end up going along anyway. And it's those unexpected surprises, it's the ones that you didn't expect that you were going to find very satisfying, that are often the most exciting of all. And those are the ones, I mean, for a long while ago, I became a member of the, what's effectively the BFI, the films being shown on the South Bank in London, the National Film Theatre. And the ones that I always enjoyed most there were the ones that you looked at in their kind of calendar for every month, and you sort of thought, well, I suppose I might go. I tended to try and see two films on a night to make it worth going up. And it was quite often the other film, as it were, the one that you'd kind of tacked on, that you sort of thought, oh, well, that's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating film. Why has nobody ever told me about this film? It's fantastic. I want to go and tell lots of other people about that film. And this club is very much that kind of experience at its best. It's that kind of chance to see something that you would never have otherwise seen. And once you've seen it, you want to sort of go away and rave about it to everybody else and sort of commiserate with everybody else because they haven't seen it and they won't have very much of an opportunity to see it, but you have, and you know that. You then think, well, that director is a fascinating director, or that way of making films is a fascinating way of making films, and you've not had the chance to see it before. And once you've seen it, you know that you like it. So it is a real opportunity to expand your horizons. But it's very much not a case of we're a bunch of know-it-alls who are kind of parading our knowledge to people who don't know so much. It's not like that at all. And the discussion at the end is always interesting because it's just simply about what it's been like to watch that film. And you've watched that film and you've had your own thoughts and experiences while watching it. But hearing what somebody else's thoughts and experiences were quite often illuminates the film in a way that just didn't occur while you were watching the film yourself. So you get another kind of a version of the film from the other group of people who are talking. And it really can take that experience up to another level. So the film plus the discussion afterwards becomes a really fascinating experience, and it leaves you with thoughts that go around in your head for days at its best.
I should also say that we have a member of the committee introducing each film, and that member usually either knows the film quite well or has done some reading around the film so that they can not only introduce the film but just give the audience a few ideas before they actually watch it. And that person also is usually in the discussion, so they can feed into the discussion as well.
Yeah. So quite a different experience, because you normally go to the cinema with the same person, or, you know, your partner or your mum, or perhaps you go on your own. So having that discussion with not strangers but acquaintances is, I would imagine, a very useful experience for many of your members.
I think it really helps, and I think even the informal discussion that happens as people are sort of collecting their coats and taking their glasses back to the bar is all part of the experience, as well as the more formal discussion that some people stay for.
We would like to think that the films that we show are the kinds of films that make people want to have a chat with one another. You kind of want to sort of discuss what on earth was that all about, or that particular thing that happened, why did that happen? Not because it's obscure or puzzling necessarily, but just because it stimulates conversation rather than being wallpaper. I mean, there's a lot of commercial films that obviously if you're sat in the cinema you're only focusing on that, so it's not meant to be wallpaper. But particularly if you're sat at home and there's something on the TV, you kind of drift in and out and it's like we don't particularly focus on it, and it was entertaining but that's about it. You don't remember it the next day. What we really want to be doing is showing films that you do think about the next day and you do want to talk about to somebody else, either just immediately after the film or to somebody who wasn't here and would have probably loved to see it but didn't see it.
And tonight you're showing the Belgian film 2 Days, 1 Night. What's that about?
So 2 Days, 1 Night is a Belgian film by the Dardenne brothers, who are well-known Belgian directors. It's about a young mother who finds out that she's going to lose her job, and she's going to lose her job because her colleagues have opted to have a pay rise, but they can only get the pay rise if one of them is dismissed, and they've chosen her to be dismissed. So the 2 Days, 1 Night of the title refers to the weekend that she has to try and persuade her colleagues to give up on their bonus and let her keep her job. And it's a very intense film, although the subject matter doesn't sound like a thriller. It's sort of built up like a thriller because you're waiting through the film to see whether she can succeed or not. And it is about how the community comes together in the end. So it is quite an uplifting film.
Can I just say, in terms of that word uplifting, one of the things that's often fascinating with the films that we show is that when you look at the little breakdown of the plot that we give, you sort of think, well, I'm not sure how that's going to be a bit of a grim experience, isn't it? Or that's not particularly interesting. It's not the kind of area of life that interests me. But it's quite often those films that you watch and you think, well, I mean, we've had films where you read the explanation of what goes on in the film, which is perfectly accurate, and you think, oh, I don't think that's going to... You watch the film and you get to the end of it and you think, that was really enjoyable. How was that enjoyable, given that that was the storyline? What was it that was being done by the director or the actors or, you know, all the other people involved that has made that such a satisfying experience and maybe even an uplifting experience, despite sometimes the plot? Because I think sometimes you can kind of, people get hung up on plot or on genre and things like that. And particularly if you're going out to the commercial cinema, you sort of think, well, I know, I like those sorts of films. I like sci-fi films or I like westerns or whatever it might be. And you tend to go for those and not other kinds of films. Whereas with us, obviously, we've got a real variety of things. And you've got that opportunity to have a taste of very different kinds of things and have that really unexpected experience, which I think if you're basically going to watch a certain kind of film in the cinema as it comes out, they're all contemporary films, they're all films of a certain kind, you're not going to surprise yourself very much. We will surprise you. I think we can definitely say that. We have some surprising films and satisfying films, and, you know, surprisingly satisfying and satisfyingly surprising films. Whilst our membership changes from year to year, it's been very similar at a very similar level for many years. And I think you're getting a kind of a baton passing process. People do mention to other people that they've come and seen things that they're satisfying. And by word of mouth, and obviously by some of the publicity, the information that we put out, you know, that word is going out and there are people out there who are interested. I think a lot of people might think, because of one thing or another, oh, it's possibly not for me. I think they'd be surprised. They might not find all of the films satisfying, but then we as committee members don't find all of the films satisfying. There are films that we like more than others. And there's a, you know, there's a healthy backwards and forwards on what kind of films we show. And we react to different films in very different sorts of ways.
We have about 40 to 50 members a year, and about 30 people on average come to the films each night. It varies a bit. And we're a really friendly club, I would like to emphasise that. You know, people, even if we don't know everyone by name, we recognise people who come regularly. We open, people arrive from about 7 and have a drink of wine, and there's often some cake provided by another committee member called Chris. And so it's a nice, friendly atmosphere. And you're certainly not expected to know lots about film. It's £38 a year to join as a full member. If you want to come along for one screening, one film as a guest, that's £5. And you get 11 films over the year. So we have a film each month apart from August.
What films are still left to come this year?
So we've got a wide variety of films on the programme between now and December. The next film in July is a film called Radio On, which is an independent British film made in the 70s.
Yes, 79 I think it is.
Yeah. Then in September we've got a Polish film called Ida. In October we've got a classic, a Roman Polanski classic, Repulsion. In November we've got a Coen Brothers film. They've proved very popular in the past, and we're showing the recent film by the Coen Brothers, Inside Llewyn Davis. And then we're finishing up in December with a Italian...
The December film is a film called The Legend of 1900, which is an odd one. It's effectively an Italian film. All the people behind it are Italian, but it's actually in English, and it stars Tim Roth on a transatlantic liner. So it's a very strange hybrid. It's one of those ones... When you watch it, you think this is not like anything else that I've ever seen. Not because it's weird and, you know, impossible to enjoy, but just because it's unusual, it goes off in a odd direction. And a lot of the films that we show are like that.
It's about a jazz musician, I should say. So it's got a beautiful score.
He's supposed to be the world's greatest piano player, and he ends up having a piano duel with I think it's Jelly Roll Morton, isn't it, who comes onto the liner, and they basically, one of them plays a piece and then the other one plays a piece, and they have to sort of outdo one another. So you get this business, which is there's this kind of cinematic history of duels between experts in various different fields, and it's got an example of one of those. But they've all got, you know, these kinds of unusual elements to them.
Joanna and Phil, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.